You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
So they're releasing Captain America the one weekend the geeks are not home.
Wait, why is it? Oh, Comic-Con. Well, they go see it down there. I mean, they probably will. But they're giving out some free tickets. I'm mad. Oh, I wish I was there. Because there's people.
I know. I'm seeing all this awesome stuff, and it just. Oh.
You in Australia. You didn't. I'm right here. I'm right 3 hours away.
I didn't go to my local comic convention this year because I had no money. And also, just this, it's so tiny and crap, and you go there once you've seen everything.
You talking
about, but I do like cosplaying.
The one that had the dude from Star Trek?
You said, yeah, Supernova, Carl Urban.
Well, how could it be so tiny and crap? It had all those celebrities there.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. Like, the Sydney and the Brisbane Supernovas get way more guests, and they're a lot bigger because, I mean, they're bigger cities. But, it's just, I'm really disappointed with the way they run it, and the guy who runs it is a complete tool.
You know him personally?
Oh, yeah, he, when I was with the 501st, at the end of the day, it was Sunday, everyone was closing down, and this girl who was working with him came up to us and took back the passes or the badges that said that, you know, we were a part of the show. And then he comes up, and he looks like the friggin' Penguin, you know, just this short, fat dude, dark hair, pointy nose, and he's like, wow, no, it wasn't. He said, where's your badge? And I said, oh, this girl already took it. Then he goes on to have a go at me because I didn't have the badge. And I kept saying to him, no, you've seen me here all day. People have been taking photos of me. We're at the table here. You know I'm not sneaking in. What do you want from me? What a douche.
Well, thank you for that commentary on. You, at least you stayed. He didn't kick you out.
So, no, I mean, how could he kick me out? It was the last day, and it was closed. Oh. We were just staying behind because we were counting the money that we'd raised for charity. Yeah, sue us.
Okay.
We haven't got Green Lantern yet.
What?
No. Everyone knows it's shit, and yet no one in this country has actually seen it because we get August. The first Thursday in August. I don't know what the date is specifically.
Are you going to go see it or are you just going to wait?
Hell no. Never seeing that piece of shit ever. I hate Green Lantern. It's just so boring.
How could anybody not like Green Lantern? And that's a superhero. He's got intergalactic group of people. He's got a ring.
Should have been John Stewart at least.
Why people keep saying that? It would have made even less money. You think they want to see a black person on screen? No.
I want a black superhero. Is that so hard to ask? There's so many whiteys. And also, so many dudes. Like, you know, try it, Wonder Woman. Failed. Like, ugh. It's a pain in the ass. Hollywood is just for middle-aged white guys.
Why y'all whining? Just like
I'm hating. I'm so upset right now. No.
You and Gail Simone, y'all need to stop.
Get off our horse.
Get off your soapbox and create the characters. Anyway, okay, so we're talking about today a comic book called Transformers number 70 from the
Price of Life.
Yes. Before we get into that, it's from September 1990. I played a song. I don't know what song I'm gonna play, but in post editing, I played a song, and I don't know which one it was, but the songs that were big at this time was were these songs.
Locomotion by Kylie Minogue. That was actually big in Australia in 1990.
Okay, I'll play that mess. Or something called Release Me by Wilson Phillips. I didn't know they had another song besides Hold On. At number one, too. I can't believe they had another hit besides Hold Me. I can't believe it. Maybe I'll just play Do Me by Belle Biv DeVoe. Okay, and that's what was big. Oh, and Unskinny Bop by Poison. These were the big hits of 1990. Don't you miss it.
Yeah, such a huge 80s hangover. I have actually been going back to the 90s a bit. When I was growing up in the 90s, I hated it so much, you know, because everything that was marketed to me was just horrible. You know, your Backstreet Boys and the Spice Girls and everything. And now I'm going back and thinking, oh, Diary was cool. Fight Club, The Matrix, The Big Lebowski, Prodigy, Crystal Method, all these big beat electronica bands. Yeah, I missed out because I didn't have any older siblings and I didn't see my cousins that often. So, yeah.
Yeah, you was only 8 anyway. And all right, speaking of 1990, September 1990, the big hits or this movie that just came out of the box office was some movie that made a lot of money. Oh, Postcards from the Edge made $37 million. Who went to go see that mess?
Oh, the name rings a bell. What is that?
It's the movie based on Carrie Fisher's book, Princess Leia, about her, her and her mother. And she's a drunk and all this. And they're starring, what's her face? The big actress, Meryl Streep, was the star of it. Anyway, but the movie that my one-time favorite movie, it was my favorite movie of all time, but I took it off my number one list because it was too violent and it depressed me. Called Goodfellas, and it was a well-made movie that came out in September 1990. That is one of the greatest movies, but I can't like it because it's so depressing.
I really don't like all that I guess gangster sort of movies.
Yeah,
like everyone says. Well, most people say The Godfather is the best trilogy ever. No, it's boring. I've tried to watch so many times. It's like
boring.
That scene in Family Guy. How he says, I have a confession to make. What? I don't like The Godfather. What? Are you kidding me? It's amazing. No, it isn't. It's so boring. If I want to watch something that goes for 9 or 12 hours, I'm going to watch The Lord of the Rings.
Now, that's boring. But anyway.
No, it's amazing.
Okay, the only thing that was good.
See, it's
was the
personal
trolls.
Opinion, really.
Yeah, I know people like just like Harry Potter. I can't get into that, but I understand people like it.
Yeah, it's definitely a cult. Like, not
it's a
cult following.
It's a cult.
You have to be at that certain age at that certain time because, for me, if you're born, pretty much 1990 onwards. Growing up, you would have had this Harry Potter mania thrown in your face. It was just unavoidable. And we all, you know, I remember in high school, we'd have our houses and stuff. I was in Ravenclaw. It was pretty cool.
Okay.
I was like 12. No, God, I would have been younger than that. How long ago did Harry Potter come out?
2000.
It was like forever.
2001.
Oh, my God.
2001. That wasn't
okay,
that
so it'd have been about like 10.
I can't believe it. Anyway, what else came out? There was a movie called Hardware. You're too young to know about it. It was a horror movie. I don't know what the fuck it was. We went to the movies to see that because it was a set built as a futuristic thing about this futuristic killer robot. That was the boringest movie that was ever made. I can't believe and I'm mad that this list brought that movie up to me and that I'm remembering it right now. I want to go find out who made this list so I can hurt them. But this is a good month for a gangster movie because The Goodfellas, Miller's Crossing, and The King of New York came out. And that's it. Oh, yeah, and Pacific Heights with Michael Keaton. Playing a character that's not Batman, which is what he should always play. He should never play Batman. And that's it. That's September 1990. And let's get into whatever the name of that story was.
Transformers.
I know where the comic is. Yeah, Transformers number 70.
Can you tell I grew up with this cartoon?
You didn't. Oh, that cartoon was man. Already old by the time the original cartoon.
Oh yeah, reruns on free-to-air TV in Australia in the 90s. Yes. My brother started watching that first, and he had all the toys, and then I kind of got into it, which is actually unusual, because Jordan normally gets into sci-fi and stuff because of me. And, yeah, Transformers was just, to me, was this really bizarre concept, but I love it, and I loved it, and I still love it now. The original animated movie actually caused me to stop watching it for a long time until the Michael Bay movie came out.
Wait, why would you stop watching it? Because of the movie, Transformers the movie.
They killed Optimus Prime!
Please, that movie was great.
It oh, I watched it again recently. It's not too bad, although why the hell is Eric Idle in it? And there's this little guy called Wheelie, and he speaks in rhyme, which, yeah, okay, those things could have been removed from the movie altogether.
No, the thing that didn't belong in it was World Elf Yankovic song, Dare to Be Stupid. What the fuck does that got to do with the Transformers?
I don't remember that.
What the fuck? You got the touch. You got the power. Anyway.
Oh, my God. So many great inspiring 80s songs. Just listen to the Transformers soundtrack every morning and you'll be ready to transform.
The Transformers 2007 soundtrack with a Shia LaBeouf movie. It's got Linkin Park on it. Linkin Park. Anyway.
80s one. The very first Transformers movie. But the Transformers soundtracks for the new trilogy by Steve Jablonski. The score is actually really nice. Putting that out there.
Okay. And I like the remake of the Transformers theme by Mutant Math. I recommend that. Anyway.
Oh, I'm wearing my Optimus Prime hoodie. It wasn't intentional, but yeah, I came home and put it on.
This cover says the Ultimate Autobot Decepticon team up, and they being a smart ass because this ain't a team up. You see, I don't know if you want to describe the cover, what's on the cover.
Oh, gosh! That describes the cover.
This is the disturbing shit right here.
Yeah, I remember seeing this when I was really young. They actually used to have, at the local deli or supermarket, whatever it was, they had all these old Archie comics and Transformers and some other things. And I remember seeing this. I never read it. But that cover haunted me for years. I didn't even know who Ratchet or Megatron was. But yeah.
Okay, Ratchet, who is the Autobot, he's their medic. And then
I love him. He's so cute.
Not here, he ain't.
No, he's ruined.
And Megatron, we all know who Megatron is. They both melded together. Their faces are melded together. Their eyes on the side that counts are stuck together.
That's the grossest part. Two eyes.
Well, they're not huge.
Even though it's not biological, it's just so. It's like in Terminator 2, where he's melting. He's being put into. What is that? I can't even remember that movie. They're lowering him to something.
Yeah, you talking about the original, or are you talking about T2?
Terminator 2. They're lowering the Arnie robot.
Oh yeah, they put him in some molten.
Yeah, metal. Like lava. They get lava from.
I think it was at a metal factory where they melt all the metals, so they could
refinery.
Yeah, and they did that. They melted him, and yeah, this is what that is. Two Megatron and the Autobot melted together, but and their faces, their mouths are all open like they're. In a coma, or like a mentally challenged with slobber.
I do.
Slobber.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, but it's disturbing here. It's not funny at all.
Their tongues are coming, lolling out their mouths. But they're robots, and they all are together in pain. But that's what humans would be like in that but they're robots.
That's the thing with Transformers, there's a lot of anthropomorphization that drives a lot of fans nuts, myself included. But they have gone on to explain that they're techno-organic, so they have evolved from, well, machines like we know now, but there's an element of...
human or organic or living.
Humanity, yeah. So they feel emotions, they feel pain to an extent, with certain differences.
But the thing that adds on, that makes it really fucked up on top of it, is they're holding up a little card that is all messed up, written, help us. Like the little rascals, backwards S. I'm like, they didn't have to add that to, because this is one of those cards that you have on a Rolodex. That's and they pulled it off. I'm like, why?
How did they get that?
They don't have a fucking Rolodex. What is Optimus Prime and them doing with a Rolodex?
I can imagine like Optimus Prime has a desk and the lamp.
Let me call Wiki's numbers here. I got Michael Bay's numbers over here. Should I have both if I need to call him?
But no one ever needs to call Style of
And his character was an extra dick in this last movie. Oh, you saw that?
Oh, yeah. So I
you
saw
did say
Transformers
that. Yeah, you
3.
Did. You did a review of it.
Yeah, with my mom, which she fell asleep through a lot of it. She just liked, what's his name? Josh Duhamel and Tyrese Gibson and the cars, and that's pretty much it. Oh, and Bumblebee. And I had to explain pretty much most of the plot to her because she was nodding off. She's so old.
That's not anywhere.
Oh, there's something I said before. Oh, the original Transformers animated movie, after that point, well, the whole point of that was this, I mean, it's just marketing. They wanted to kill off all the current Decepticons and Autobots, and then bring in new characters in the last two seasons, which is why a lot of people were turned away, myself included. And I'm not really sure where the comics are placed in continuity, but somewhere between in the first three seasons. But they're in the arc, and the arc is actually flying, so I don't know.
Okay, because I don't know where this fits in either, because I don't know nothing about I don't know nothing about that storyline. But I read a bunch of it last night, and this story starts after, I guess, the only one dealing with the, I ain't even going to explain the whole history to everybody, but I just read last night, but it was basically this guy, Ratchet, was on the Decepticon ship, and he kind of foiled them blowing, I guess they're going to blow up the Ark or Earth or something, and he foiled them, but in the process, he and, Megatron got melted together in a big explosion.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with the space bridges, which in a recent episode of Transformers Prime, I thought they were going to go the same direction, but it turns out that they were transported into this a slightly different dimension that exists almost in our own or some bullshit, but it would have been cool to see this in a kid's TV show.
No. No kids would have had a fucking nightmares.
Oh, yeah. This is actually surprisingly good and surprisingly dark for a 90s Transformers comic.
Okay. And it says the price of life. And I don't know why they got a cents sign on there. But anyway, just like on the cover, they are walking. They shambling do like the Night of the Living Dead, the melted.
Oh, it's so creepy. I can just imagine this giant robot like moving like a zombie and his arms outstretched. And then he touches Optimus Prime's face and it's
I was probably looking at him like he's all sad and even though Megatron is melted there too, but he's just concentrating on Ratchet.
And, well, it's actually Ratchet's hand that is reaching towards.
Yeah, but there's still two. Megatron's hand is there too. This is melted together, and everybody's looking at him like, "Oh shit, this is fucked up." But the thing that happens, the security chief comes in. That I forgot that dude. What's his Cup?
His name's Cup, KUP, and I'm glad they don't draw him as an old dude here because in the cartoon he's meant to be old, which is not. Does not compute. They're robots. They don't age.
Just like in part 3 where that... What's the
Sentinel.
Sentinel,
yeah.
Prime, who was played by what's his face, Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy.
But he has a beard, and I'm like,
yeah. The design gets way too elaborate in.
No,
the
you know what's
movie.
Worse was that little doctor professor character that was killed in part three. But he had a.
That was the scariest shit. It was just ugh.
What, did they kill him or how he looked?
The way he looked, he was like a zombie.
Well, he looked like the fact that he had like glasses and he was balding.
But there's something skeletal about his face.
And he had a cane, and he was like, "No, please stop." I'm like, "Wait, you can't be a doddering old man. You're a robot. Why he make my robot doddering?
You live and then you die when your spark is taken from you. That's pretty much how your life cycle works."
But instead, I mean, they just treat it like humans. I hate when they do that and they have beards and shit like that. I don't like that.
Way too much anthropomorphization. I would understand it if it was a little bit more along the lines of, say, the life cycle of a car. You know, you see an old car
it down,
and it just shows
rusty.
That age.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, like, bags under its headlights or something, you know?
Or a beard. Which I'll guess I'll let the
That'd be hilarious if Sentinel Prime transformed. He still has the beard.
And then, okay, so here, Cup.
Yes.
Cup walks in, sees everybody looking at him. I hate stuff like this in comic books and movies. And he sees Megatron's face, and he says...
Yeah, the person who flips out and reacts.
Yeah, he just shoots. He shoots at him. No, he's about to shoot him. And then Optimus Prime says, "No, don't shoot him." Even though Optimus Prime is in the way, he still says, "Stand clear, I want to shoot him." And it's like, wait a minute. You see first of all, you see he's all fucked up. You see everybody's around them and they're not threatened. So why? So
it's not out of character for Cup because he is a sort of shoot first, ask questions later kind of character. he is also the only one who really questions Prime or argues with him. Oh, maybe Ironhide a little bit, but yeah, Cup's kind of a douche.
And I'll get to that later about him arguing with...
I find that they make the faces, like Optimus's face, really a lot like, what's his name from Ninja Turtles? Shredder.
Yeah, he doesn't.
It looks too human.
Wait, no, it doesn't. They don't show his face. He got.
No. It's just like it looks like a human with a mask on. It gets a little bit too human.
You talk about look
but
at Cup.
The rest of the bodies are really square.
Look at Cup face. That's really human right there. That's too. And so is everybody else's.
I'm so used to the more recent comic designs, so it's been a while since I've seen Transformers looking like this.
I just don't like.
It's not bad.
I don't like the movies' designs of their faces.
Oh, it's just too busy.
But they explain to Cup what happened. They said, "Look, it don't shoot because that's Ratchet, also not just Megatron." But they explain how they got that way. It's good, so I don't have to explain it to the audience. It says they were what did it say they was doing? I'm trying to go to the last page. Oh, he says, we found them. There was two explosions because they was on Cybertron and blew up." And he says, "It's my theory." And somehow his theory is right. That the first explosion fused them together.
Well, it is Nightbeat. Nightbeat is, he's a fan of detective stories, and he's the detective, basically. Wannabe detective, I should say.
You need to get a better name. He need to go to the detective novels and get a better name than Nightbeat.
Oh, he has a giant trench coat and fedora he wears sometimes.
No.
No idea where he got it from.
No.
Actually, no, that was the best part. They did explain it's made out of, like sails or something he found by the shore.
No, I'm not accepting of that. Anyway.
Yeah, he's a shock machine, just a giant Janome somewhere in his quarters.
So they were fused together in an explosion. Then the second explosion blew them through the still open trans-time dimensional portal that Ratchet had used to shift Megatron's explosive from the Ark to his base. So
it's basically technobabble because none of that really. And they were floating in unspace. What is
It's the space, the non-dimension between realities. Until my probe found them. Why was you probing? Why didn't you just let them die? But anyway, the point is that Ratchet saved everybody from dying. And in this process, this happened. This fusing together happened. I hate when they do stuff like this, too, because they did that in 52 DC's 52, where they fused the black people together, Firestorm and Cyborg, and they didn't. And later on in the story, they didn't explain how they got them apart, but they did. But I'm
what?
Like, oh, you didn't know about that?
I haven't read 52 because everyone said it was terrible, so I didn't read it.
Everybody said it was great. I thought everyone in America agrees that that was a good series, better than Countdown that they had later on. But no, it was a good series. Anyway, so that's what happened. And then, of course, Cup is an asshole. He's like,
yeah, he is.
Wonder if it had been better if they left them out in unspace. He said, whatever that monster is.
Hang on a second. Yeah. Swear to the AllSpark.
Quit praying to the AllSpark.
Oh, I just like using, because I'm an atheist, so I just like using different things to swear by. The way that Megatron Ratchet, what should we call them?
Mega Ratchet.
Mega Ratchet.
Yes.
Mega Ratchet. Mega Ratchet. I love the way Mega Ratchet talks. It's like, devils.
That is.
And he actually does literally say, devils.
I know that's also makes it. I wonder if like little 8-year old was creeped out who read this.
It's like it's borderline hilarious and terrifying because when you read it, hilarious. But you like I imagine this giant robot, but it's moving very fast. And very shakily, almost like something out of Silent Hill, or one of those head crabs from whatever the hell they're from.
Head crabs. I don't want to know what those things are. But the point is, they arguing with Cup, and then Megatron charges them, knocks them over, and just escapes. Which.
But what I actually like about this comic is that it's not a black and white scenario. They actually really have to discuss this, and there's no real right or wrong, whereas most of the time, it's aimed at kids, so it's just Decepticons bad, Autobots good, Autobots win at the end of the day.
Yeah, and well, that's how all the, like, G.I. Joe was, the comic book was more involved than the TV show.
Mm. Oh, there was some really surprisingly dark G.I. Joe comics. Like, yeah. One of them, this young boy writes to Snake Eyes, who's my favorite G.I. Joe, and he's saying he's considering joining the army, and Snake Eyes is just really honest about it. He says it can be rewarding, but at the same time, there's all this bad shit that happens, dude. Like, this is what's happened in my life, and it was a real exploration of the character.
But he didn't say it right. He wrote it because he don't.
Yeah, it was a letter.
Okay, like Stan. Yeah, he didn't. But it was says a cup is that he
Snake Eyes. He writes like a poet, but he cannot speak at all.
Anyway, and I don't see it when I don't get when people say Snake Eyes is their favorite because he don't say shit. Okay, he doesn't say a word. He never.
He's mysterious.
Okay, well. Cup is arguing, the robot is arguing with Optimus Prime. They make Optimus Prime look like a punk here because he's doing all the talking. He's cursing Optimus Prime out. And Optimus Prime is like,
yeah.
Don't go after Ratchet. He's our friend. And he says, you think I don't know that, Prime? I have a duty to all the other robots on board. You appointed me security guard. And, you know, if you have to trust you have to trust me as a security guard. But he says, wait. If you think I'm going to let that deranged creature run amok, then all the knots you've taken recently have done more than loosen a few nuts and bolts. You just cussing him out.
Oh, Optimus would put you in your place, but apparently he just walks off. No, that's not the Optimus way. I mean, he...
And he's doubting himself because he said, because later on he questions his leadership also because he wants to surrender to this other guy. I forgot the other guy's name, but he wants to surrender to the new Decepticons that are out there. And so he's like, he said, I hope the price of your friend's life isn't the lives of the other robots. And I guess that's where you get the title from. And then he's got Optimus Prime walking through the ship, and he's questioning himself. In other...
They have done this in later comics, I think it's Dreamwave that has the license now, where, yeah, Optimus has been put in these tricky situations, but it's like, Optimus should always be in control, and he should know what he's doing, and when he is questioning himself, it's not like this. Like, here he's just sort of standing by and letting Cop tell him, or, well, talk him down.
You should have slapped the shit out of him. Because he's like, wait a minute, you're security, but I'm the commander, motherfucker. That's what he should have said, but he didn't.
And then he was threatening to use, what was this thing? Oh, the Crisis Act against Optimus. What this?
What's the crisis?
It's Optimus Prime, dude. Huh?
the Crisis Act?
Yeah, it's like if a leader... It reminds me of that episode of Star Trek. If the leader is unfit to lead, they just basically, use that act to have them removed from power. But a couple of issues before this, I have been reading through these comics as well, Grimlock was in charge, and I can't remember why Optimus wasn't there, but Grimlock
his
was
head,
in his place.
His head was torn off. Is that the one?
That's right.
He didn't have a body.
Yeah. Oh, when he gets his head back, though, it was he laid a beat down. That was just so amazing. but yeah, why didn't they just use the Crisis Act against Grimlock? I don't know.
Well, Grimlock here. Oh, we cut the scene.
Oh yeah, that story is just so boring.
Okay. Well, I'm basically he's.
Yeah. Summarize.
Now, I'm trying to figure out what he was doing. Oh yeah, he led the rest of the Dinobots away from. They left the Autobots, so they're on their own. But he's trying to find some source of power. It's like the Fountain of Youth for robots.
Because he got the rest of the Dinobots killed. Great leader.
But I don't like the fact that he thinks like a regular person, but he talks like the Incredible Hulk. It's like, no, motherfucker, you can get vocabulary, and don't tell me that his vocabulary circuits was all fucked up.
No, he does that BM Grimlock thing in his mind and out loud.
What a dump. Thought Earth was pits, but this place got it beat. Me dirty, corroded, tired, and very ticked off. Like, motherfucker, if you know the word corroded, then you could say I instead of me. I am instead of...
I don't know why, but the Dinobots have bands, and I've never really gotten the appeal. They were created by Will Jack, and they were dangerous, and they were retards. And then he, don't know what he did, but he gave them almost like, a sentience chip in their heads that, gave them the ability to talk, but not perfectly.
Well, I was reading through this.
And
well, go ahead.
The idea isn't bad, it's just that's not consistent.
But the thing, they saved the Autobots but a couple of times. So, and people probably like them because they're different. They're, you know, everybody knows who Optimus Prime is. But if you're a fan of this, you could say, yeah, I like the Dinobots. They're different, you know, and they're good guys. But, of course, yeah, overall, no good because they talk like the Incredible Hulk. And if you talk like the Incredible Hulk, that's not cool. And on top of that, they are dinosaurs. They're Dinobots. Which is, dinosaurs are cool, robots are cool, but not Dinobots. They're not cars.
Yeah, they're robots in disguise. Where are they going to be disguised as dinosaurs?
At the amusement park. But
like a guard robot that they come across, the gold one.
Yeah.
That is friggin' scary, that face. It's just...
It's just a Terminator, like a cartoon version of the Terminator.
I know, but I'm thinking from the perspective of a kid who would pick this up. I mean, you've got a Mega Ratchet, and you got that thing. It's pretty intense, okay. Man.
And he fights against, he you know, he has he tears his leg off, fighting it, and stomps on it. And it's like the whatever that potion was in the Fountain of Youth, the thing is trying to stop them from getting, what's his face, Grimlock, from getting to it. He's like protective of it, but it's like this adventure. I like this because he's got to go do this weird planet to go get this, you know, to get this Fountain of Youth stuff to save all the other robots.
Not a lot happens, like, in contrast to what's going on with the rest of the Autobots. This is a fairly straightforward story, and obviously one that isn't really resolved. It's like, it's only, we don't see the beginning of this story, we don't see the end of the story, this is just a little snippet of it.
Okay, then back on the Ark. The Megatron monster has destroyed more of the ship and hurt more people, and Cup is still talking shit. It's like a page of him talking shit.
He's a douchebag.
That thing that you wouldn't let me put down sealed itself in the main engine room and started tearing stuff apart. But see, now this does make, you know, Optimus Prime look weak. He should have killed this thing.
He does not say a thing. He just gives him sad eyes. It's like, okay, I know he's going through something right now, but...
Well, he did have his head torn
still
off.
Optimus fight.
He just had his head put back on his body. You know, he was going through. But he says, that's nothing compared to the damage he could do in there. If it takes all the rest...
Also...
Go ahead.
He acts like this all the time, and I'm just like, there's got to be an episode, maybe in the last two seasons I didn't watch, where Optimus just smacks him, just puts him in his place, or maybe puts him in an airlock. Really, this is all Cup ever does.
No, this is the last panel is where I get. I like the art in this, by the way. Whoever did it, this is real good. He says, "I'll tell you something, Prime. A lot of Autobots are very unhappy about your decision to surrender to Scorponok on our return to Earth. Another weak decision, and I doubt many would protest when I invoke the Crisis Act and relieve you of command." He said, and Optimus Prime got all wide eyes like a little kid, like you're about to cry. Come on. And then he turns back, and all the other robots, they're looking at him. They're probably mad at him because he won't respond more than, you know.
He's literally said maybe two sentences in this whole comic.
Then he says, "We're out of time. Destroy the creature." And he gives Optimus Prime the gun, and Optimus just grabs the gun. And
these two pages are my favorite.
And he slams the door, where he knocks the door off the hinges because he's so pissed. Without saying a word, he just walks up to the monster while it's tearing up the main engine room. And and then, you know, somebody is cursing out Cup, and he's like, "I don't like this." But I'm sure Ratchet himself would agree with me. If the creature destroys us, his sacrifice becomes pointless. Which, you know, Cuff is right here, but I just don't...
He has a point. At least they do give him a reason for being a douchebag.
Optimus shouldn't have to be told all this. That's why I don't like it, because he should be doing this himself. He shouldn't be having people tell him.
Yeah, Optimus would be like, okay, look, here's the situation... Should we let him live? Shouldn't we? You know, would he want that? He would have just discussed this with the Autobot. Like, if this was the cartoon, he would just been, okay, here it is. What should we do, guys? All right, let's do it, you know?
Okay. Then he...
This is the panel where he's like, duh. And then next to it is TNT.
No,
they're getting very creative with the sound effects.
It's TNT.
Because
he do a metal piece and it bounce off him. That's the sound it makes.
TNT.
But he knocks the creature down, and he got to remind himself to be strong and be resolute. And he puts the gun up to his head. And then,
this is brilliant.
And they're looking at him all scared, like little children. With it, and he says, and even like a little punk ass bitch, he put the gun down and says, "No, I cannot.
Cannot. It is not my way. It's not the Autobot way."
Matrix, forgive me. You're talking about Keanu Reeves. But Ratchet...
No, that's pretty much how Optimus Prime talks.
He
doesn't use contractions and stuff.
No, I'm just talking about the Matrix part. I know that that's a thing in their universe that they worship or whatever. But Ratchet grabs the tip of the gun, puts it to his own head, and then he says, "Plus."
That is so creepy.
Saying, "Please." And Megatron, of course, look all scared. And we see him.
More like, "Plus."
And, of course, we take it that he pulls the trigger, but you don't hear the sound effect. You don't see the sound effect. You just see his finger on the trigger that we assume that he killed him.
And it cuts away to Grimlock again.
Then Grimlock kills another robot that's trying to kill him because he's almost there. Oh, so see, this is like he's crossing a river on a boat of dead Dino. Oh no, it's got the dead Dinobots on there, and it's like going across the river Styx. See, this is a lot of mythology in here, mythical images. Anyway, he kills another robot on the way over who tries to stop him, and. 2 pages, that's too much to get to this. I like this. There's one little sad robot sitting there just before he gets to, you know, his goal. There's one more robot who's not going to stop him, but he's saying, "Welcome to the island of spilled tears, the land of crushed illusions and broken promises." And he said, "Hey, man, you're a lousy tourist guide." But he tells him that this, if you take this stuff, you're gonna feel better, but ultimately it tears you from inside out or something like that. It destroys you and from the inside out and makes you crazy. And he said all the creatures that were trying to stop you from coming here wasn't trying to stop you from getting their, you know, their sustenance. They were trying to keep you, to protect you. They want you to go away. He said, yeah, it cured me, but it drove me crazy because that robot, he had a wasting disease and he took it and this thing made him better. But now he's crazy. He looks fine to me, but I guess. And of course, my man Grimlock goes in there anyway, drinks it, and he's restored. He said, I feel great, like Tony the Tiger. And and of course the little robot, he said, you dumb robot, I feel powerful, I feel alive, and I'm going to revive my Dinobots immediately. Or he says, me revive.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And then you see a little sad robot sits there and says, time
will tell. That is the scariest little robot.
Like, you can't hurt anybody. He can't hurt nobody.
Yes, he can.
And then that's
with his eyes, just his eyes.
And then, he killed Ratchet Megatron because he's laying there on the table dead. And he said, "Are they dead?" In the rope, but the medical robot says, "Yeah, they're dead, but I should be able to separate them, and I may be able to save Ratchet's life." And he said, "You see, Megatron? No, you see." He can be saved. Do you still think I was...
No, it should be more like this. He can be saved. Do you still think it was weak for me not to pull the trigger? Was it wrong to be merciful?
Yes, it was weak.
So he didn't pull the trigger.
Oh, he didn't pull the trigger? Oh, that bitch! Okay, but he said you still...
No, because it's not the Autobot way!
Yeah, and he said, do you think it was weak of me? Yeah, it was weak of you. You should have killed him. But he says, the medical robot says, yeah, but if I save him, I got to save Megatron, too. And then he said, you want me to still proceed with the operation? And, of course, then it's
going to... Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, that the medical robot is Fix-It, and I don't know why they use him, because they also have another character, Hoist. There's a lot of medical robots, but yeah, Hoist was there first, and he's better known. Fix-It? Screw him. I like Hoist. He's cute.
They don't need just one. They need more medical. They get fucked up all the time.
But I like Hoist.
Anyway, I don't know these robots, so it's okay to me. This guy, he works out just fine. But then there's
his head is all wrong. Like, that is so off model. I can't even begin to tell.
Whose head?
Optimus is the blue parts of his head. It don't look like that. It looks like he's got these. Like an X-Wing thing going on with his head.
Oh, yeah. It was damaged, so that also makes it look bad. But but he says that he wants him to proceed with the operation, and all the other Autobots are looking at him like, you bitch. You fucking bitch. Mm-hmm. And then, to make it even worse, it said at the end of it, it says, this issue you thought you'd never see is when the Autobots surrender in the next issue, which they do surrender in the next issue. And I didn't finish that issue, but he did get on his knees and take his little this Autobot patch off and put it on the ground, and Scorponok, you know, he surrendered to Scorponok, who's a human, and I don't understand why, but I guess I have to read the comics to find out why.
Yeah, Scorponok, from my memory, is not human either.
No, he is.
But then he is a human.
In that next issue, he takes off, like, after they all surrender stuff, he goes off to his by himself and takes his helmet off, and it's a man underneath. He's like a man wearing, he just wears the, you know, the robot costume. And I was like, what the fuck is this? But this was...
I think one of them, this is going to make things more difficult. There's a headmaster Scorponok, and then there's just like a, I guess a Predacon sort of Scorponok. Yeah, there's all these different terminology for them.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, the one in the movie would be what people are most familiar with, and most of the time he's just like one of Soundwave's little cassettes.
Which they can't do that now anymore because that's so out of date.
And it's mass conversion.
They have to have CD. Not even CDs. People don't even listen to that shit no more. We listen to MP3 now, motherfucker. And you can't convert that to a robot. So, yeah, that, I give a thumbs up to that. That was actually good. I enjoyed, even though I had to read a couple of the others before that, or read a backstory.
Yeah, surprisingly, this holds up really well. I haven't read any of these in a long time, and I had actually never read this one. But, yeah, I want to go back and read all of them. I don't know if it's like there's 80 issues in total of the Generation 1 Marvel Transformers comics.
Yeah, and then there's a lot. And then the one who wrote this was that guy, Simon Furman, because I thought he was somebody who was new in the 90s or the 2000s, but no, he's been writing it since the 80s. So he writes the ones that are, he writes the new Transformer comics also. So he's been writing it for years. I never heard of the guy until a couple of years ago. But then again, I've never read these comics, the Transformer comics. I was always turned off to that in G.I. Joe because of the cartoons. But, you know, I wish I had read them.
The G.I. Joe cartoons are terrible.
They're not terrible. I saw it as an adult.
They are not. I mean, they are just ridiculous and don't hold up as well as the Transformers. Like, I was watching a G1 episode of Transformers the other day. The girl who loved, Power Glide, I think he's... Yeah, Power Glide, which is really funny. Because this human girl falls in love with Power Glide, who's one of the few Transformers who can fly. And for some reason, when he's in robot form, he's small enough so that the two of them can hold hands, and yet he turns into a friggin' jet. But that aside, I mean, it's more entertaining and not as embarrassingly stupid as G.I. Joe. And I never grew up watching the G.I. Joe cartoon, but I had read the comics and watched Resolute and the latest series, which are a lot better.
Okay. Now, is Resolute, is that the one by Warren Ellis?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. I saw that. But there's also a series beside that.
Yeah, there's a new one. I can't remember.
Okay, I'm
I think it starts with an R as well.
And that's the show. Thanks for joining us. Check us out on the website, zoomcast.blogspot.com, and leave comments on the show if you have any questions or anything to say about this episode. Until next time, peace.